Praise the Lord. Good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of John. And read verse 31 to verse 21. Continue to speak about the life of that man who has been changed with the Lord, whom the Lord has opened his eyes, and now he's taken God. Let's read this word and let's go and understand what is our assignment to us today and what really the Lord wants us to do and what He's doing in our lives. John chapter 9, verse 31 to 41. Now we know that God heareth no sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not healed that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou seek us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Does thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him hear these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Let's pray, God. Thank you for your word to us. Make it clear, explain to us. Pray and have knowledge and send words and scriptures and clarify things to us in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that the message will help each and every one of us in all our lives, and that we are passing through, that this word will be a healing to us, will be light to see the right way, and what is your will and what is your purpose and what you want us to do. I pray you take it, make it please those who are in need of this word of yours. O God, raise up people and workers and evangelists and open to us door and lead us to people and opportunities to evangelize to the crowd and to the whatever kind of people you want your message to reach. We thank you, God, for this. This is our prayer in this name. Amen. See, this man who was blind, he started to take over the ministry of the Lord, and he started to serve God in a very short period of time. And that is really how you can differentiate between true conversion and false conversion. I believe there is a lot of false conversion going on. Yeah, because when there is no progress, when there is stagnation, there is something wrong has taken place, or since the start there was no conversion at all. And you see, this man, we learn from him a lot of things, although his experience in the Lord is a very short period of time. In verse 51, he starts to speak with the Jews, with the Pharisees and their leaders in a language, and he went to the level that they can understand, and he went back down to their level and he said to them, Now we know that God here is not sinner. So he went with them to the point that he knows that they agree about it. And certain time we need to go with the people with the point that they agree. From that point we start to build on facts and convincing proofs and evidences to let just the present be clear and realized so they can speak clearly what we are speaking. This man, in addition to that, he gives him two conditions how God hears their prayers. He told him, God sure will not hear from us, but I will tell you which condition that God will hear the prayers. He was giving them a sermon, he was preaching them. He gives them two conditions. How God will hear prayers, but if any man be a worshipper of God, the man who worships God, the one who serves God. Worship is not only we think and we attend church, we have to serve God, we have to live our life to God. And later on in the message, we will know what is really worshipper and what is worship. So he told him, a man should be a worshipper of God, and a man also who do the will of God. He told him, the man who do the will of God, he is a worshipper of God, his prayer God, he is not a sinner. And his prayer God also will hear and he will answer. What he's saying to them, in that way, I was here, and the one who hears me is Jesus, through his prayer to God. And if this man is a sinner, sure not, God will not hear his prayer. And when he hears the prayer, he is not a sinner. And besides that, when he hears you on the Sabbath that you are trusted with it and you are getting hold on him, if that was not God's will, God would not also hear me. You see, he is cornering them with a message directed from the Holy Ghost. And that's where you say, don't be afraid when you stand in front of all rulers. The Holy Spirit will put on you the word that you need to speak. In verse 2, he yet more told them, since the world began was it not here that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. He told them, from the beginning of the world, we did not hear and did not hear, not recorded that somebody was born blind and his eyes was open. What he was telling them, you people, you should be happy that Jesus did this thing. And you know, in evangelism, I learned something. I learned that the people are blind of the good things that God had given to them and had done in their life. In evangelism, we need to tell the people the positive things that they are not able to see, and these are the blessings of God that they are missing. He's telling them, instead of you get angry at him, you bring all your sick people and come to him and he will heal. And evangelism more about it. When you are called to save people and do good to them, but still they are going to do bad, like this man. Now we know that he is going to be a supper for it. He is telling them the good things that they are not able to see. That's the service. That's the ministry. That's kindness. That's gentleness. Even it was some sort of rebuke his message to them, but that was the love of God that this man was filled with and he was telling to them. But what they did to him, as you have read later on, they would cast him out. Evangelism is to do kindness and to do the good things, even if you come to know that the people will get harm you for it. But take heart, the Lord also is there to reward you for the good things that you have. In verse 3, he told them, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now he is cornering them with all evidences that if this man was not sent by God, if he is not with God, if God is not with him, if he is not from God, he can do nothing. He will not be able to see such marvelous things as what Jesus did.
I want to speak about the evangelism here. Evangelism is that we need to be in the world, as a church, as individuals, as a community, as workers, to do good things. And you get here, when you say he can't do nothing, so we are called to do certain things. We need to continue to bear the fruit, and that is a confirmation that we are being sent from God, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good work that he prepared in advance for us to do. There must be a fruit, and the fruit, as we are seeing here, it will come when there is perseverance. You see, the ministry of this man, it is really a big struggle, and it's a battle that was going on in his personal life, how to stand for the Lord. But he was doing the good work. He was preaching, and he was standing, and he was moving from station to station as ordained by the Lord. In verse 34, now time for them to answer, and they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and thus thou teachest, and they cast him out. Now here, this is the end. Now, he is aware of it, right or wrong. He is aware, and he is also, he will know that they will be speaking to him certain words that is, it may help him. When they told him, you are born in sin, and they ridicule him, rejoining out the teachers, thou wast altogether born in sin, and thus thou, teachers, there's a time that in the evangelism, there's no point to teach anymore. And the people, they will tell you, get out of my house, family, get out of my life. And we need also to accept it, because it is already done. What you need to do more? That man was finally cast out. In evangelism, as I said, it's a battle, but it's a step by step. There must be progression. And it must be the planet. And you get the point, there are certain times that really it needs to be ended up in this way. It's a scenario ordained by God. We see here many of us, we are avoiding that we should reach that stage. That climax, that is, you go to the right and go to the left. Because already there is complete disagreement based on the scriptures. It's not that something that you can ignore or just let it go. But there is wrong stand from the other party. And they are no more be willing to take the teaching that is causing them to move into holiness. And you know, evangelism is not only a battle and forward step by step, but it must reach the climax where wrong motives, wrong agendas, and masks to be moved away from faces, then people read who you are would be exposed. That will not take place unless the message is preached without compromises. The wrong motive would be finally exposed. That is one aspect of it. And I was thinking about how when he was cast out, because they no more be able to be with his thing to them, they hate the teaching. And also he became a threat to them. Because if he would be continuing that place, he would also teach others about the Christ. That was they cast him out. That is one aspect. So we really second time when we evangelize, we may be not aware that we are yet, but we will be a source of threat for people because we are already getting hold on the sin that they are hiding in there.
Right.
I want to say something important here about evangelism from this verse. You know, certain time, and that is a good percentage of the certain time, people avoid such ends. Avoid that fellowship will be cut or broken or some sort of separation because the fear of isolation. This man, as we have read previously, that the parents stand different now from his stand. Already there's a crisis in the family. No crisis going on in the synagogue, and we have thought about it that he will be cast out, and when he will be cast out, he will be deprived of certain kind of people or relationship or some benefit he needs to forsake. Do you get the point? And that is we evangelize. When we start the work of God, there is some sort of fear of isolation, rejection and persecution. Now, if I'm going to stand hard with these people in the synagogue, do you get the point? Now, if I turn my face from them, where I will go? Do you get the point here? Where I will go, if I have already turned my face from my parents, I am called to turn my face from the synagogue, where I will go? But if you were in verse 35, it would be easy for you to recognize God is there right beside you when you take the firm stand and declare His word in force. I believe certain blessings will not come into our life and ministry unless we are willing to stand and bear it like this man was willing to stand and bear it. Verse 35 says very clearly, Jesus healed that after the word cast him out, an exclamation there, what will happen? That is the climax. After it, Jesus healed that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, when he was found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? You see here, Jesus was right there with him. But Jesus was observing what he's going to do. He gives a message. And the people should interact with the message. Should they translate the message? Should they bring the food that God desires? Jesus heard that they had cast him. Was he waiting for that or no? He was waiting for it. Have you got the point here? Jesus waiting for many people to take such a thing. Come out from the cross. Come out from this wicked and crooked generation. Seven times we are waiting for certain blessings, but we are within, we are still in the cross. We are not willing to get isolated, we are not willing to suffer for it. How can you expect that God will be moving into your life in a right way? Jesus hear about it. So Jesus is very attentive of what we are doing and where we are and what we are speaking and what's happening to us. He will check. They cast him out. Yes, this is the plan of this. This is my plan. Oh, he stayed with them and they honored him. What did he say to them? Compromises. Will be known. If that is true conversion or just getting the benefit. What is here, when Jesus hears about him, that they cast him out, and see also in verse 35, and when he found him, have you got the point? Jesus, when he heard about it, starts to search for him, and he found him and catch him. That's where the next stage will start in His blood. When you come out from all your sin and from the sinful atmosphere and the sinful fellowship, where you find Jesus there, come out from them and say, "No, I am clean." "Thanks," says the Lord, "and I will receive you and you will be my son and my daughter." So Jesus met him, and we do follow up. In evangelism, we give the message. The message has the assignment. And then we will follow up. We need to search, and we need to meet the people in the time of their trial. This man was at the time of trial, rejection. He lost everything now. He has eyes, but he lost all the benefits. But this was there. And we can conclude that follow-up is to meet the people at the time of their trial. And when the Lord meets this man on the second time, he adds to his faith. You see here, he put it on. "Does thou believe on the Son of God?" He doesn't tell him, "I hear about it, I did like this to you." No. He doesn't think about it. That's what is expected. That's normal. That's what I am expecting from you to do. Now I need to add to your faith. He was adding more to his faith. He asked, "Does you believe on the Son of God?" He was asking him, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" And that is the thing that is in you and the life of this man. Let us hear the answer. He answered and said, Who is he? "Lord, that I might believe on him." That man, his heart was really rough for the Lord, and the way he answered, "Who is he that Lord that I will go and also believe in him and also worship him?" He did not say what? I did not hear about that. But his heart was there with the Lord. And you know, there is some of trust. When the Lord told him, do you believe in the Son of God? He is aware that God is in his life. God has done miracle and healed him. And God enabled him to take a good stand. Now, I believe that God has a better plan for me. That's what he says. "Who is he? I am willing to go to the next stage that God has ordained for me, because I trust him that as he is healing me out from sinful way and suffering, I don't believe that he will continue to be with me, and I don't need to be feared. Where is he that I may believe on him?" So here, there are people who have been through conversion. It is easy to be disciples. Those post-conversion, there is no way for them to be disciples, because they don't believe on what Jesus and his word. Believe is, the meaning of believe is to put into action, to translate into reality. Your stand and your willingness to go along what Jesus has ordained for you to go through. Verse 7. "But Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You know, Jesus now declared them two things, that you have already seen him with your eyes, and you are ready that the one who is talking with you is he, the person. So here, Christ has revealed himself in a full way, in a very short period of time, and the man is now start to serve the Lord. In verse 38, "And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him." Now all depends on faith and belief. I believe on your word. I believe on your plan. I believe what you had ordained for me is better than what I had left in the past.
And the man worship him. The word that used here for worship, the Greek word proskuneia, means that he kissed his feet, kissed his hands, kneeled down at his knees and bowed his head to the ground. He paid homage and loyalty for the Lord. You know, what I understand is worship is not only that I pay loyalty to you, Lord, but I'm going to pay loyalty to your plan in my life. And that's what is many Christians, they have a great reservation about the plan of God in their life. Very hard for them to give up their own plan and surrender to the plan of the Lord. But this man was very clear for him that the plan of God that he has for him is better than his own plan. You may say that this man was blind. I tell you the truth, before we come to know the Lord, all of us were blind, and the Lord opened our eyes to believe, to see, and to hear. He says, the one you hear, the one who talks with you, the one you see is He. In verse 39, and He said, for this man I have come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might make blind. Evangelism is to bring the judgment of God into the people, life. To bring what the word of God is. Those who believe in Jesus and those who obey His word, their eyes are open. But those who does not believe on Christ and does not believe on the word that He says, it means they will not put it into practice. They are blind, and the judgment of God is on them. So evangelism is bringing a serious message from the Lord, a warning message, a challenge for people to give up what they are living in and replace it with the new life that God has also for them. Verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him hear this word and say unto him, are we blind also? You see here that message, the one who believes, it is a comfort to him, but those who disobey, it was a rebuke from the Lord directly to them. And what I like in verse 40, he says, some of the Pharisees which were with him. So here with the Lord, they are disciples, they are in new people coming, convert like this blind man, and there's also Pharisees. They are near to him, and the Lord rebuked them with his word, and he changed for them to be changed. They asked him, are we blind? Jesus still answer their question. Verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. He told them, you are not blind, you are able to see. You were able to see of the miracle. You hear the message, you have seen the man. You have did all what you can to break what God wants to do in His life and in your life also, and you are not able to do anything. So you are first, you are accountable to all what you have seen and heard. Second, he told them very clear things that more than the blindness is a sickness. More worse than the blindness is the sin that you are living in. The sin of non-belief, because you are not willing to change your life. And the third,
since you say that, or we can see, and still you don't believe, the sin will remain in your life.
We need to continue to abide in judgment. What God has ordained for us to pass through, we need to go through it. And we need to trust Him for the next stage of our life. We are in a climax now, but we can be assured the outcome will be good. We need to be trusting God. The time we are cast out and turn our faces from wrong people and wrong fellowships and wrong stand, we just right away. We meet Jesus searching for us, finding us, supporting us, aiding us to continue to sin. That's all we need. God, thank you for your word to us. Help us, Lord, to serve you wholeheartedly. Thank you for the thoughts that you inspire from your word. Here we are with us. Lead us of what to do and confirm whatever decision. Oh Lord, you want us to take, that will be done. We pray, you raise up more people, oh Lord, to say, give us opportunities to reach the Lord. We are willing, oh Lord, to go and move to any place or people you desire us to meet. We need you, O Lord, to train from you, encouragement from you, even in the hardship and trials, we trust you, Lord, that you will meet us and you will sustain us. That you sustain this man who was blind and you heal him and you sustain his service and ministry to you, we trust you, God. You will lead us into the path and the way that you want us. We thank you, Lord, for blessing this thing. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word, your presence in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that meets us in our needs. With the message bringing glory and the fruit that desire to see the love of your church and your people. Take it and spread it. God bless us. And like the word of the Lord, if you're hungry, God, keep us, O God, somehow, so that we may seek Him. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name.